Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board, there is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Being unmuted this time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at CJ Sports One. Follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page. It's the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.110nationsports.com for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. I got to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. 24/7, 365, get your gym off, clean facilities, courtesy staff, everything you possibly need or want, that is Fit for Life. Also got to thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcast and syndicating our show. Without all these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. So got to make sure I thank every last one of them. Glad to be back here on this Monday night. What a weekend. Got to watch the Daytona 500. All that race. He's so disappointed, though. Don't you just hate that? Don't you get, all the way to the end and someone like Austin Soto is just going to be great. Watch the NBA All-Star Game. I'm going to talk to Mike about that. I don't know if you guys are watching or not, but tell you what, I was very, very shockingly surprised. An actual good game. Defense, fouls, trash talking. Game came down to a defensive stop. It was rather in front compared to years past the NBA All-Star Game. We'll talk a little bit about that. I got to watch some bobsledding yesterday. That was I like that. I'm the only one. When you watch bobsledding, it automatically comes to your mind running and the Jamaican bobsled. A lot of stuff this weekend. Had a blast. Had an opportunity to catch some sports. Had to get the Sling TV back on. The phone and the tablet with all the work. Good guy, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. The only way to keep up with everything is throw a little Sling on the mobile device. So I've been able to keep up a little bit. I tell you what, I was aggravating though, for it. I didn't think about it, but and I like Sling TV. I'm not trying to be negative about it, but I tell you what, they got FX, they got FS1, FS2. 3,000 different variations of Fox. But, of course, the Daytona 500 is run on the regular Fox channel, and that is the only Fox version of Fox that they do not have on Sling TV. So how aggravated I was to miss the first part of the race, because that's the only variation they don't have on Sling TV. I'm going to get Mike in the studio. Got a lot of things to jump into tonight. I know he's got some Tim Tebow. Yes, he's made it. He's managed to make it into the news again. We got some hockey to talk about. Danica, just a lot of Utah Jazz, a lot of different things in different areas. Just get my computer. Find out what he's got going on Friday. Find out where he can be liked or found, likes all the whatnot. Without any further delay, let's get him in the studio. Mike, how you doing tonight?
How you doing, CJ? Okay, another good show Friday night. We have one confirmed guest, the Saunders boys from Stafford, who are going to be moving up from limited late model to late model this season. I invited them over the weekend and told them I would reach out to them during the week, so I will do that early tomorrow. But they have told me that this Friday will work for them. Also looking to invite, I invited a couple of guys from the Whalen Modified Tour who were down in Florida during Speed Weeks. So we'll get their update on the season as we look toward Myrtle Beach coming up very quickly in March. So we'll talk to some guys hopefully from that division as well. And you can find me on my personal Facebook page, Hot Laps with Stats pages, the 110 Nation pages, the 110 blog site, and my personal and my Twitter account, which is at Stats108.
I just wanted to take this opportunity real quick before we jump into everything. Thank the fans and the listeners that have gone over and checked out our site. We went ahead and revamped the site last month, kind of kicking off new year. We had something, we ended up going down, and when it all crashed, GoDaddy at that particular time did not have a backup plan or was backup. I'm not sure how that came up with words. All the work was not backed up. It was not a feature that was part of the plan. Since then, yes, that is something that they have worked on, and yes, now everything is backed up. The only way we can retrieve it, they wanted hundreds of dollars to be able to retrieve everything, and so we decided at that point in time that we would just go ahead and start fresh at the end of the year with the revamped site and everything else. We managed to make it more like a site instead of just a blog site, and we're 19 days, and actually this report only goes 18 days. I did it from the beginning of the month to the 18th, and today is not complete. And I just want to thank everybody. Since we've revamped this month compared to last month, we're up 395% when it comes to users coming over. We're up 655% when it comes to how many different articles and press releases and everything else that's been checked out. So I just wanted to, to take that moment to thank everybody that has made their way over to check out the new much improved website. All of us have here at the 110 Nation that have been working hard. If it be working on the looks of it, different features of it, articles, the press releases, and working with the teams, the shows that are available over there, just a lot going on over there. If you've not checked it out, make sure you guys go over there. Like I said, www.110nationsports.com. So make sure you guys do that. Mike, last night, the 2018 NBA All-Star Game happened. It was funny because I turned it on, and Shorty even made the comment, I thought you don't watch the NBA All-Star Game. And, and what came out of my mouth was there's nothing else on. And there wasn't. So I decided I would give it an opportunity and check it out. I have not watched it. I remember the last time I watched the All-Star. I remember I had this little TV, or somebody had this little TV. We went downstairs. It was after church lit out to, Sunday night service. We went downstairs while they were doing whatever upstairs, and we were watching it. And I was in middle school. That is the last time that I actually sat down and watched an NBA All-Star game. I can remember it. I have not been a fan, and we've talked about this many of episodes. Neither one of us really are fans of the Pro Bowl, the NBA All-Star weekend, because there's no point, and there's no defense, there's no this, there's no that. Honestly, it's just a boring game. Did you get an opportunity to watch last night's game, Mike?
No, I did not. I was consumed by the 500 and what was going on with our show last night. But when I did the 110-page today, obviously LeBron stuck out, and I was kidding with you about LeBron. You must have been happy. But you said the game itself was even more fan-friendly and exciting for the fans. So then I read up on what they said in the article, and the article points out that they did do something a little differently with the NBA All-Star game this year in terms of the format. And obviously, judging by you and probably a number of other fans as well, it was a rising success from what I've been reading all day long. It was a rousing success.
It was, honestly, it was a good game, a game that involved defense, a game that involved fouls, a game that involved some trash talking. It came down to KD and LeBron getting Steph Curry pinned in the corner where he could not shoot a three-pointer. Possibly, it was an enjoyable game. It has this, the night had its ups and its downs. The 31 minutes of Kevin Hart introduction and basically all the skits and everything else. We all could have done it without. There were parts that he was entertaining, but it kind of drug out. It was a little too much Kevin Hart for what the weekend was supposed to be about. Also, Fergie, she should have been shot. There should have been a sniper somewhere and took her out, because what she did to the national anthem, and I agreed, I was watching First Thing First with Chris Carter and Nick Wright this morning. Anything and everything that we've watched the NFL players do we watched them have done when it comes to the kneeling and everything else and the disrespect to the national anthem and the flag was really nothing if compared to what she did last night. I don't know if she was drunk. I don't know if she was on something, but that was the most it was bad. There was 2 points. We were talking about it at work today, and there were some people that didn't see it, and we pulled it up. And as soon as I typed in FER, it pulled up Fergie Sings National Anthem, and it's already got 2.1 million views of people that I guess could not believe or wanted to know what the big talk was about all day today. But it was horrendous. I don't know. The players, some of them were trying to hold it back. Some of them were laughing like it was out there. But when it came down to it, though, what Steph Curry and LeBron James, they went to Adam Silverman, and from what I understood, it was kind of their idea. But they approached him and asked him, let's change things up. The NBA players were tired of catching the flack of how horrible this weekend is and how much of basically a punchline the NBA was, and the greatest players to play the game this weekend, because they were the punchline, too many jokes. And so what they did is, get Team LeBron, Team Steph Curry, they basically formed a pickup game. They went back and forth and picking their roster. And then you watch them play. The winner, a couple of things. One, the the amount of money that the winning teams got was increased this year. It kind of made it a little bit more worth it. Also, they donated money to a good cause. The winner donated $350,000 to a – they got to donate $350,000 to a cause of their choice, which happened to be Team LeBron. Steph Curry, the losing team, still donated $150,000. So everybody was kind of a winner. I agree with the biggest thing that everybody talks about today when about the game itself, and I see it happening next year, is everybody wished that the draft, quote-unquote, however you want to call it, I think next year they're going to make that part of the weekend. This year, they kind of did it behind the scenes, and they drafted, and you just got to know the names. Next year, what they're wanting to happen is that weekend, like on Saturday, these guys pick their roster in front of the fans and let that be kind of part of the weekend. But all in all, great success. A lot of people talk about this is the best All-Star game that you've seen out of the NBA since Michael Jordan when he played for the Washington Wizards. Like I said, all in all, great night. I was glad that I – it was funny because almost everybody I have today, no, I didn't watch it, I didn't watch it. And so I got to talk about it all day today. And a lot of people are, I either DVR'd it or, I had to go back and, find a way to watch it. I was surprised at how many people – well, I can't say I was surprised at how many people it had been so horrible for so many years. But part of me was kind of surprised that there was really nobody that watched it, especially with the new format. But I was very pleased with it. I was very entertained. And it was a fun game to watch. Yeah, 148, 145, I believe, was four. Still could have used a little bit more tweaking. But all in all, I think the NBA hit on something for All-Star Weekend. I see it's something that they continue to do and to work on to improve. And I'm glad to see that not only were the players wanting to do something to improve it, but that the commissioner was willing to give this a shot and let the players kind of be involved with trying to make the weekend a better weekend and make the game a better game.
Right, CJ, and I'll tell you, I didn't see the game, so I didn't see the national anthem and the rendition of the national anthem. But when I saw it on video, which is somebody posted it, whether you or Miss Lee, I don't know, on the 110 page, I saw the video, and there was one thing that stuck out to me that was similar, believe it or not. This might have been before your time. I don't know if you read about it. But back in the original days of the San Diego Padres, when their uniforms were brown and gold, brown and yellow, brown and gold, they had – now, there's only one other thing that in terms of a rendition, I don't want to say one was worse than the other, but on a similar level that got a lot of heat at the time, Roseanne Barr, the comedian who at the time was on Roseanne, she did the national anthem in such a way that it was such a mess, and it got a lot of negative publicity for her and for the team, quite frankly. And that's the last time I can remember a rendition of the national anthem being that widely panned. But that was like only one other time, and then you point out, of course, last night. But prior to that, only one other celebrity, shall we say, did the anthem such an injustice as to bring out like national headlines about it. And as I viewed the video last night, or today, from last night today, that popped into my mind. I said this was going to be the same thing with a different, obviously, celebrity. But Definitely. You can Google Roseanne Barr and figure that out. I forgot exactly the year that it happened, but, I mean, San Diego had just been awarded their team, and I think it was within the first 2 years or so that they were in the Major League Baseball, and this happened with Roseanne, and it was just a nightmare. And for weeks and months it went on, and Roseanne went on talk shows and was panned for it, and just tremendously bad, just like you say, with last night's rendition as well.
It wasn't before my time. I remember that she grabbed her crotch area and spit and said, "Play ball." I remember. I don't know why anybody thought that Roseanne Barr could sing. And that's what makes last night even crazier to me, because Fergie's an actual singer. So she shouldn't have sounded so horribly bad. And I have a thing when it comes to artists. You didn't write the national anthem. Therefore, it's already been written and it's already been performed. Perform it the way it was written. Sing it the way that it was meant to be. Don't try to put your twist. That's not your song to change up. You know, there's a lot of people that have sacrificed everything. A lot of families that have sacrificed everything. It's not your song to alter, and I have a big issue with that as it is. But I remember the Roseanne Barr incident at the, I believe it was the World Series. I can't remember the World Series, the All Star, whatever. But she caught flack for that a long time. I don't know. It was horrible to watch her that night. You lose a lot of respect for someone that does such a butchering job of something that means so much to so many people, regardless if she intentionally did it or not. Like I said, it almost seemed like she was on something. It almost doesn't sound like she was trying to be like Marilyn Monroe, and like she was ready to her to whip out the happy birthday, Mr. President. It was a weird, awkward whole chain of events. But anyway, LeBron James MVP almost had a triple double, two assists away from having a triple double, 29 points, I think like the 14th, 12 or 14th, something like that. Had a great night, had a fun night. Got to see a lot of players play together. It was fun. I think the thing that was most interesting to me about it when we talk about the matchups or the rosters, that you had Kevin Durant and Westbrook on the starting of the LeBron side. So you had them back together, and you had Kyrie Irving and LeBron James also back together, and all four of them were part of the starting rotation. I thought that was interesting to see them all paired up back together and on the same team, especially the friction that we've seen over the last year with Kyrie going to Boston and the last time we watched Oklahoma and Golden State play each other, and how chippy it got there in that game as well. So I thought that was interesting. It made for great entertainment.
Yeah, it was truly like a pickup game in the off season. You know, you read about these players getting together, you know, in some gym someplace, and that's exactly what it was like, you know, like a pickup game, like you said, regardless of who was on whose team or, you know, as far as Boston and you know, it was just like a couple of guys getting together for a pickup game like they would in the off season.
I think with the help of the NBA players, I think if the NBA over the next year kind of quirks, a few things. I think that the All-Star Weekend could actually be a weekend that gets a lot of attention that people will tune in and want to watch. So I hope that's what they do. I hope they continue to try to make this weekend better. I hope that maybe the NFL, you know, learn something that, you know, people turn into Major League Baseball because, you know, there's a reason, you know, to win that one. The NBA, you know, found its, you know, in on how to, you know, make it more exciting and interesting. Of course, NASCAR, they pay $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is. Of course, they got their in as well. So maybe the NFL will sit down and think about what they could do to make their All-Star Weekend, you know, be relevant and make fans want to actually tune in and be part of it. But Jim asked the NBA. I did my to the commissioner and the players working together and kind of, you know, coming together and making it like making the players feel, you know, like their partners and all this and let them get involved. I think that was really a big deal to the players to feel, you know, you don't get that in the NFL. You feel that Roger Goodell is the dictator, that he is God, and the players are kind of, it is what it is. Not so much that they feel in the NBA. It makes the league to be a happier place, and it makes everybody want to go along and help each other work on improving things. And you've got to see a product of that this weekend. So, big kudos to the NBA this weekend.
Right. Okay, as far as the stories, we might as well stick to, well, we can stick to basketball, but baseball first. The two stories you referred to, one of them you referred to already, my Mets, somebody asked, and I have a feeling it was because spring training is around the corner and all that. Somebody asked Sandy Alderson why Tim Tebow, after spending the last couple of years in a minor league camp, which meant he was going to the minors, at the end of spring training, he was invited this year to major league training camp. And Alderson was asked why, and he said, the GM of the Mets, and he said, because I think that Tim Tebow will eventually end up in the majors. So if that's the case, as a Met fan, I hope it's with the Mets, but we'll see what happens with him. Interesting that he should be the talk of training camp as usual until something else happens, but we'll see what happens there. The other major story happens to be with the San Diego Padres, strangely enough. We just got done talking about that incident. But here's one for you, CJ. The newest free agent is Eric Hosmer. If you remember, he was a mainstay with the Kansas City Royals, and he is signed now with the San Diego Padres. So that is the latest baseball player to move to another locale. So Kansas City has lost another of their top players, along with D. Gordon and a lot of that team that played in the World Series now against the Mets have signed elsewhere. So it'll be interesting to see how Kansas City does this year as well. And then the major basketball story, other than the All-Star game, and this is a function of us on the East Coast not really getting a lot of local news, CJ, other than when they make national headlines. Probably some of our listeners from Mile High and out that way know more about this than we did before it hit the national media, as they say. But the Utah Jazz, of all teams, CJ, have an 11-game winning streak as of Thursday. Now, I don't know what happened to them over the weekend. I guess with the All-Star break, they didn't play. So they go into this week with an 11-game win streak. So they're making some noise out west.
Yeah, with this weekend All-Star break, they didn't play this weekend. As a matter of fact, I don't think they play tonight. I don't think they start playing games again until tomorrow.
Okay, football. One football move that stuck out to me, and I don't know if you saw this, CJ, before it happened, but on Thursday as well, right after our last show on Wednesday, Sebastian Janikowski, longtime kicker for the Oakland Raiders, released, and so that's an interesting thing. When this happens out of the blue, and I have no idea why he was released, generally it's a financial. It's for financial reasons. In other words, Oakland probably owed him a ton of money and want to cut him to get somebody in there that will affect their salary cap far less costly fashion. That's generally what happens when a player that's been there a long time is owed a tremendous amount of money. So I would think that with Janikowski being there for a lot of years, that he's probably would have put an undue strain on the Oakland Raiders salary cap. I have a feeling that's why he was cut loose.
I could imagine a kicker being that much of a strain on a payroll. I don't know. Maybe it's got to do with the age. I don't know. Almost every year that I'm in the fantasy league, he's almost always a kicker. But seems like he hits about everything from everywhere. So, I thought that was kind of odd. And I thought about Tim Tebow. Could you imagine him getting caught up, a 30-year-old, essentially end up being a 30-year-old rookie? I think Tim Tebow's had an interesting life. Coming out of Florida, he kind of didn't know where and if he was going to land a job. Then I think Denver really just picked him up just because it was Tim Tebow. I don't know if they honestly thought that they would be using Tim Tebow as an actual quarterback. Then that season where what was it? It wasn't Jay Cutler. It was, I want to say Orton was his last name. The other quarterback that is coming out of Chicago didn't have a good season. Denver had only won, I think, one game. They were like one and something. And to watch Tim Tebow bring Denver back and take him to the playoffs and actually win the playoff game, nobody saw it coming. And then to watch them and then going to the Jets, to Philadelphia, really never getting another opportunity to be up in the booth and working for ESPN to, finding out that he's going to go try to play baseball that nobody has really took serious. And now we're hearing that, that there's people in the organization believing that Tim Tebow will eventually get called up and be in the majors. Who would have thought? A person that most people feel cannot properly throw a football, not only will have a NFL career, but had a Major League Baseball career. Who would have thought Tim Tebow, period, would have had a career in two different professional sports, something that most athletes never happens to or even attempt to. And we're looking at possibly seeing Tim Tebow actually have a career in different major sports.
Right, and you got to think even people like, I guess the last person, CJ, to pull that off, I don't know how Well, I guess both of his teams were successful. I just don't know, historically were successful. I just don't know during his tenure how successful each one was. The last athlete to have a, I'll call it a semi-successful career in two sports was, the name escapes me and I had it on the tip of my tongue. The guy that played for Auburn, Bo Jackson, I'm sorry, just popped into my mind there. Bo Jackson with the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Royals for a time. And then he ended up having a strange hip injury and, ended up leaving both sports. But he was the last one I know that really pulled it off, even a little bit, semi-successfully.
I mean, I can't remember if Deion Sanders was before or after that. Of course, Deion played for the Atlanta Braves and the Falcons at the same time. It's made it a little bit different because they were playing two sports at the same time. And Tebow was going to, had played one and kind of, I guess you could use the word retire from one before moving to the other.
Right.
Kind of forced out. But it's also going to be interesting to know if he even gets called up this year that he's going to be a 30-year-old rookie in the Major League Baseball. just to know that he's been around professional sports, has been a professional athlete, and accomplished what he's accomplished off the field and the booth and everything else, and still also might be known as a 30-year-old rookie.
Right. No, it would be something to say the least. And especially, like you say, he had the break, if you want to call it a retirement or moving on to TV and then moving back into sports. Nobody has really done that. Come back after being in the TV booth. Certainly as a player, as a coach, there's been a few. But not, John Gruden is a perfect example, but not as a player. So, yes, it would be a different situation. It'd be interesting. And to have the Mets have him and be successful would also be different. Trust me, I know, because the Mets, any other type of deal that they've pulled like this, it's generally thought of in the New York media as a publicity stunt, and maybe in the beginning when the Mets signed them, including here, we said it probably is more a publicity stunt than anything, and now he's been invited to the Major League camp, so who knows?
Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah, I'm seeing the... They're showing the NBA players' reactions as Fergie is singing the national anthem, and even some of the big stars that showed up, Chris Rock, they're showing Team LeBron, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, they're showing everybody, Jimmy Kimmel, Klay Thompson, they're showing everybody trying to keep somewhat of a straight face the best they could for that national anthem as I was scrolling through. Was there any other Major League Baseball that was on our list tonight, Mike? Don't look like it.
No more baseball, but we will. I can give you three stories that are, four that are very sad, CJ. I don't know if you saw this again on Thursday. We go back to, Thursday or Friday, whenever this happened. But the Parkland shooting, the high school student who got in with a gun, which is another bit of society creeping into sports, but apparently one of the people that were shot dead was an AD and a football coach, an athletic director at the school, who saved lives, I guess, stepped in front of a bullet, it seems, or something of that nature, to save a couple of students, and he is being branded a hero. And unfortunately, not in all cases, because I know, soldiers like, my dad and you and everybody say you've served. Not all heroes are dead, but a lot of times that's the unfortunate result when someone's called a hero because they gave their life to save others, and that's exactly what this guy did. As if the situation wasn't bad enough, this man stepped in front of a couple of students to save them and ended up sacrificing himself in the melee. So that was one. And then on a far less scale, but equally sad, a hockey player who is, and we'll get into this with Izzo tomorrow night because he knows more about these players that aren't well known, but a major NHL enforcer who was known more for his fists than for his hockey playing ability, by the name of Stephen Pete, is now homeless and living in his truck. And whenever I read these stories where it relates to hockey, I remember back to the early 70s with people like Bobby Orr, who got taken by an agent by the name of Alan Eagleson. And I don't know who this guy's agent is. It's certainly not Alan Eagleson, who's been deceased now for a while. But, these agents that you go and trust, CJ, these athletes, and then they end up basically stealing your savings and whatever else you have going for you. And it's just a shame. And so that's one of the stories we'll be covering with Izzo. And then a couple of others relating to hockey. I don't know if you saw this the other night, Thursday night as well, or over the weekend at least. There was a African-American player, and there are more of them now in hockey. Not that they are predominant, but there is one in Philadelphia and one now with the Capitals. And he was in, now this is funny, when I say funny, not funny ha-ha, but funny ironic. I first read the article and they said he was the subject of racial taunts. Then when I read the article, they talked about the fans yelling at him in the penalty box, and what they yelled at him was, now if this is all it was, if it was more, they yelled basketball, basketball, basketball. Now that, if you read the article, that's what the fans were chanting. Now I don't know about you, St. Jay, but if that's all that was said, and I'm not, I wasn't in Chicago, I don't know, but if that's all that was said, that to me indicates that the player had rabbit ears, what were back in the day referred to as rabbit ears. I'm not advocating in any way, shape, or form that fans should go and taunt players, but if you're in this case, an enemy rink, and you get taunted like that, that's not, to me, racially motivated. If it was something else and something more, then yes. But When I read the article and saw that the fans were chanting, or read that the fans were chanting, basketball, 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 that to me is not, you know, racially motivated. Or maybe it is, but not, you know, something of a far more serious nature. I don't know, CJ, I don't know how you feel about it. But, again, if that's all that was said and it was basically taunts of that nature, that to me is not, you know, terribly serious and would be termed rabbit ears, and, you know, back in the day.
I hear much worse on a daily basis, people coming in and out. Some things shouldn't be said, and you know, at the same time, we live in a time of day now that everybody is super sensitive about everything. I'm not going to say it's right or anything else, but compared to a lot of things that are said and heard, you know, I'm surprised that, especially everything going on, that there was that much education.
Right.
Obviously, some people just need to learn to keep their mouth shut.
And the other hockey story before we get into the Daytona 500 and the racing weekend, period. The other hockey-related story, and again, this is. Goes back to what Izzo had already mentioned, and we talked about it on his hockey segment for about 3 weeks now, and it's turned out to be so. The U.S. women are the greatest hope for a medal in the versus the U.S. men. The U.S. men have only one NHL player, a former NHL player of note. And he is like 40, I think, 1 year old or something of that nature. Brian Gionta, who played for the New Jersey Devils, among others. But the U.S. women are doing tremendously in Olympic hockey, and they are still on track for a gold medal. So we will talk to Izzo about that, along with the rest of the hockey stories tomorrow night. But other than that, we can talk about the race weekend, CJ. Starting with the truck series, no real surprise, I guess. Johnny Sauter comes away with the win. He's got to be favored in any race he's in. So that, as I say, was no surprise. The other two were kind of surprising. The Xfinity series with five overtimes to decide, and then all of a sudden here comes Tyler Reddick, and so he is. I don't think anybody other than Tyler Reddick's team would have picked Tyler Reddick to win the Xfinity series. Opener at Daytona, but indeed that's what happened. And then, of course, last night, right before our show, Austin Dillon ends up with the win on a last lap situation with the Daytona 500. So there you go with that. And we have another story about Danica, obviously, where Danica will end up now after her appearance at the Indy 500 in May. I've heard everything, as you have, from you know, her apparel line to even a gig, a show on Food Network, of all things. But interesting, with her weekend not ending as she would have wanted as well.
from this weekend, one, I want to make sure that I think this was 28. I want to say it was important.
You broke up just then, CJ. What happened? Where did you move?
Okay. I didn't move, but we had Dylan Lipson on Wednesday night. He was part of the Xfinity Series race at Daytona. Got tangled up on someone's mess earlier in the race. In one of the overtimes, something finally snapped. He hit the wall very hard. So thoughts and prayers out with Dylan. I'm sure Sunday he was probably pretty sore. It was a hard hit. But had a decent day until all that happened. Also, Wayne Self also got tangled up in somebody else's stuff. Didn't finish all that great. Had a decent run going, and unfortunately, like I said, got tangled up with someone else's stuff. We had him on last Wednesday as well. Had a blast with him. If you guys missed that, make sure you guys go back and check that out. Enjoyed both races. Five overtimes in the Xfinity Series race. Nobody saw that coming. The Daytona 500. I know we got to the final restart, and I was asked, and I didn't really want to see Denny Hamlin. I just didn't want to see him win. And once we watched Austin Dillon dump Eric Almirola, I made the comment, well, damn, now I kind of wish Denny Hamlin was going to win the race. There was a couple of people up there I wish he would have played out differently. Now, Austin Dillon is a Daytona 500 champion, and now that's going to be something that we're going to have to hear about for the rest of our lives, and that's just something I don't want to hear. Felt bad for Danica. Had a nice race going. Top 10, top 15. Was just quiet, mind her business. Unfortunately, one of the incidents that happened right in front of her, and she ended up getting tangled up in that, and that's how her career in NASCAR ends. Kind of felt bad for Bubba Wallace. Ended up finishing second. As we watched the 3 and 43 finish 1-2, I thought that he was going to find a way to pull it off with that final restart. I know that the conspiracy theorists are going to be out there, and this was brought up the other night. We watched the three car 20 years after Senior wins the Daytona 500. We find it back in victory lane. I'm not into all the conspiracy theories and everything else. It quite simply came down to Austin Dillon just dumping Eric Almirola. He had a shot. Would I rather even see him win it than versus Austin Dillon? But it is what it is. We got Atlanta coming up, and maybe more than a quarter of the field will be there at the end this time.
Right. Just my one thought, and I didn't really bring this up last night, I don't think. I might have once to Craig. But I just think Austin Dillon gets a tremendous amount of heat, and I think the reason is, and I'm not necessarily an Austin Dillon fan, the only reason, as I said last night, for those of you that caught it, or you can hear it on the archive. The only reason I would have rooted for the 11 is not because of Denny. It's because of his crew chief. I happen to know personally from Riverhead. So that's why Mike Wheeler is a former Long Island resident, who one of the many racers who went down to North Carolina and hooked up with a NASCAR team. So that was a sentimental reason for me why I would have rooted for not so much Denny, but for the 11 team. But to get back to what I was saying, Austin Dillon gets a lot of heat and I firmly believe this, and I've always believed this about Dylan and why he took so much heat or takes so much heat, is because nobody, CJ, thinks, and I can go as far as anybody I talk to. So I'm when you say nobody, anybody I've talked to about this have said that they don't think he has earned the shot in that seat, that he was more or less given it only because he is the grandson of Richard Childress. And the other, and I've seen more than once, I saw another person today who was prominent on our race thread over on NASCAR and other racing also. Seth put up a question, would he, well, I think more than one, I saw it with Seth and Paul Ewan, would he have gotten a ride had it not been for Richard Childress? And that's how you can measure if a driver is worthy. And that's an interesting debatable question, I guess. Would Austin Dillon, as far as a NASCAR driver, would he have gotten a ride with any other team had Richard Childress not been a car owner? And I guess I debated.
You're right, Mike. I don't know if he would have or wouldn't have. You know, you base it off his Xfinity Series career, then yeah, he probably would have. But would he have gotten that opportunity, Xfinity Series, not RCR, i.e. Richard Childress, give him that opportunity in the Xfinity Series? So, you know, it's kind of one of those things that still play hand in hand. So I don't know. Tonight, and we didn't make this announcement earlier, but tonight's episode is going to be a shortened episode. Mainly got to do with the fact that I have not been off for about a month, and today was another long day. Tomorrow's an even earlier day, as we have a big audit and a pre-inspection for next week's big inspection going on. So got a lot of things going on. We got guests joining us tomorrow. We got Izzo joining us tomorrow. So tomorrow's episode is going to be the regular 2 hour, and Wednesday will be a regular 2 hour. Tonight we're going to cut a little bit early. As a matter of fact, just do a 1 hour show so I can go ahead and get things wrapped up for the night and head over and get prepared for a long day tomorrow. But Mike, go ahead and let them know what you got going on Friday. We could be found life and all the whatnot.
Okay, we got the Sanders boys coming over and talk to us from Stafford Speedway. Another couple of guests from Stafford, and I want to get as many of those drivers on, because for those of you that don't know, my show obviously is live on Friday night, and Stafford Speedway over in Connecticut runs on Friday night once the season starts. So I try to get their personnel and individuals on during the off season as much as possible. And those two young men moved up this year, and that's another reason I want to talk with them and give you fans an idea that don't know who they are. They moved up this year from limited late models to late models. So we'll have them on. And then I also invited a few individuals from the Whelen Modified Tour as we look ahead to March and the Whelen Modified Tour opener. And they, a couple of those guys just got back from Speed Weeks. And so we'll be talking to those people hopefully as well. So that's how Friday show lays out. And you can find me again on my personal Facebook page, the 110 Nation pages, the Hot Laps with Stats pages, and the blog site, as well as my personal Twitter account, which is at Stats108. And just a thought here that I also will be putting up the newest golf story, which CJ, I can only say right now, and I'll see how, I didn't get a chance to monitor this at all, so I'll see what happened over the weekend with the Genesis tournament, which is the next PGA tournament. And all that I know, and I monitored it through Friday and Saturday, because yesterday I was consumed with the 500, but Tiger Woods did miss the cut. And this was one of the tournaments that he was supposed to participate in and did, but he missed the cut this week. So I will put that story up as well.
Mike, do you happen to know who our guest is tomorrow?
Yes, Tim Scheffler. And,
awesome. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and I happen to know a member of her family from Riverhead, Richie Scheffler. I knew the name sounded familiar, but Miss Lee told me that you know her because she's been on the show before, and again, before my co-hosting tenure began. But I happen to know a member of her family, and
I don't know if that was actually true. I want to say she's been on since she's been here, Mike. I could be wrong, but it seems like she's been on in the last 2 or 3 years, because she didn't come on until after she stepped away from being, she was Dylan Martin's PR. And she came on the show after she stepped away from that. She does some charity stuff, which we'll be talking about. She's either run some kind of foundation or part of some foundation. We also had an opportunity to meet up with her. I got an opportunity to meet up with her one of the last times I was at the race in Daytona, and I got to talk to her for a few minutes. And she, like I said, she's been on the show. She talked about her racing. She does racing herself and does a foundation, so or whatever charity, whatever she's part of. So I'm glad to have her back on. It's been a while.
Right. I wrote up the publicity for tomorrow night, so I know I did some research with Miss Lee about her, and then I started to read about her and the two individuals, which we'll talk about tomorrow night, that has been chosen as part of their, I guess you'd say, the two recipients of their help for 2018.
We got that tomorrow night, and, of course, we got Izzo joining us at 9:30, so looking forward to both of those tomorrow night. And then, of course, we'll be back at it again Wednesday night as well. You guys can give us a follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Give us a like on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out the site. Like I said, it's one of those things that we're gaining a lot of momentum over there. A lot of great things going on the site. All of us here at the 110 Nation have been and are working hard on constantly improving everything that's going on the site, and it's paying off, and we want to continue that momentum. So make sure you guys go check us out at www.the110nationsports.com for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. I want to thank all those that tuned in. I want to thank all those that continue to go over to the site. I've got to thank Fit for Life, the I-95 Sports Network, and Mile High Radio. Without them, this all wouldn't be possible. Of course, got to thank Mike for getting everything together and getting the show laid out and everything. Mike does a lot of things behind the scene, and to include what he does, that everybody does get to see. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Make sure you guys tune in. Got a lot of things going on. Got a lot of things to talk about. Don't miss it. Till then.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.